Okay, I'm very nervous, which is unlike me. I'm not nervous about speaking, but I just feel that there was such an amazing presence of God last night, and so I'm just asking God to guide me. I was telling Charmaine, I think, this morning that we heard once that you should prepare like there's no Holy Spirit, and you should preach like you've got no notes. So that's what I'm hoping God is going to do today. I really just wanted to start speaking about when Stan spoke of the garden last night, the garden that every one of our marriages had. He's talking about an inheritance that God has allotted for us. In the worldly sense, an inheritance is often allotted to us by parents, and it's usually passed on to us on their death. But our godly inheritance is not earned, but it is given to us by God and was on the death of his son. And I do believe, however, that we do need to possess this inheritance. Even though it is given to us, we have a responsibility to possess it. Before you were married, God may have shown you a portion of your inheritance. I was speaking to a girl who's waiting for her man, and God has shown her some of her inheritance. But now that you are married, you're able to walk into the fullness of what that inheritance is. And I love that scripture in Ecclesiastes that says, two are better than one. And again, just what Stan was saying about the bricks being taken down of the house, when they're put back together, it's exponentially bigger than the two houses were separately. Also just wanted to say that the things when I was praying for this week, I felt three things. One of the main word was commune. And I just started looking at the co's. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is when you are dating and you meet someone for the first time, you always have something in common. You have things in common. Otherwise, you wouldn't. I'm so grateful that we are unique in God and we all attracted to different types of people. We all look different. We all have different personalities. But we all have things in common. Stan and I, as he mentioned yesterday, we have very different personalities. I'm a complete extrovert, and he is actually an introvert, which is an amazing testimony of how he has let God use and work in his life because he preaches so amazingly. But we are very different, and when we first met, I know there were a few people who said, oh no, Heath, you're too loud. Like, he's too quiet. It's just not going to work. It's, you know, you're going to get bored. And anyway, it has worked, obviously. And I feel like I'm running to catch up to him all the time. But obviously, we had so many things that were in common. So when you remember Stan's picture, when he spoke about leaving and uniting, that's what happens when you start dating someone. You have things in common. You do things together. And I really wanted to encourage the people that are engaged here. One of the things that I wish we could find a strategy of, we've married loads, hundreds of people, but I wish we could find a strategy that you could have the intention of getting engaged, but not have to set a date. Because what happens so easily is the minute you set that date, you stop courting each other. And every time you're together, and all the men are nodding going, every time we're together, all we're talking about is the wedding. And I'm not talking about Karen and Dave on the 1st of May. It should be that right now. But I really want to encourage you, even if you have set a date, make sure, because when we were talking about that making and building intimacy, it takes time. And you don't want to lose the however many months you're engaged of actually still building, because that's what's going to invest in the cake that you're going to eat for the rest of your lives. So be disciplined about that, girls. We used to say to friends, once a week you can talk about the wedding, and the rest of the time you have to still date each other. And I want to just, when I was thinking about the thing in common as well, being married for so long, Rory had an amazing compliment that he paid Antoinette and Adrian. He said they laugh at everything, at each other. They have fun together. And for me, one of my greatest things that I love hearing my man laugh. And he is quite serious, opposite to me. So for me, that is so important. And I think sometimes we can get so busy and into the things of our lives, being married for 1 year or 5 years or 20 years. And actually we forget that we got together because we loved being together. We couldn't wait to spend time together. and we did fun things together. So I'm always challenged. Actually, regardless, I'm so grateful we have children and we love our children. But if I never even had children, God's plan was that I would spend the rest of my life with this man. Not with my children, with this man first. So don't forget when you're married that actually you've got things in common. And they will change over the years, obviously. We always say when you're dating somebody, it's the best. You see each other in the best moments. You always wear the best clothes. You always have money to go to nice places. And then you get married and you see them in the morning and they don't quite look the same as they did when you picked them up at their parents' door or that sort of thing. So just remember that you need to have fun together. And then moving from that unite, remember the picture with Sean and Lindsay standing together, and Stan spoke about the power of the presence. So for me, that word commune means that when you come together and you get married, you actually commune together. And we have that beautiful picture of having communion and having that intimacy with Jesus when we take communion with him. Commune is just a shortened version of that. And it actually means, when I looked it up, it says, commune is sharing all of life's intimacies and responsibilities. And I thought, that's a bit different to the varsity commune, because nobody takes responsibility for all that. Everybody's just together. But in a way, it's also, it gave me a picture of what it looks like, because you're all in it together. You're all in the same place. You all have your own shelf on the fridge. And there is a communing of responsibility together. But for marriage, that communing together is very, very, very important. So there's the other co. And then the third co was community. When Stan spoke about, actually, your marriage has got a mission to it. I love the fact that God is in communion in his Trinity with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And when he looks at Adam and he says it's not good for him to be alone, for me, it's that he actually says, I've got the most incredible community. I want Adam to experience that. And that's why he gives him Eve. And between the three of them, they create this other beautiful community together. And then that community gets to be blessed into this type of community. So don't underestimate. It's just a different example of the uniting, the power of the presence, and then the productivity of the presence that comes with marriage. And then I wanted to go on. So how did everybody find those love language things? Were they fun? Does anybody want to stand up and give a little testimony of what it was like? Anyone who's brave enough? It's not that daunting. Everybody's smiling and very kind. Come, tell me. Was it interesting?
We found that some of the questions you have as an option is, well, both are like on the wish list. We can't pick C or B. Both of us are going, well, that would be nice if it should happen. None of these actually ever happened, so we don't know. We can't choose any of them, so let's skip that one. That happened, I think, twice. So if it was a wish list, I think we would have had higher scores. But I think what was actually quite amazing is that I have the privilege of working with my wife. So working from home, we do everything together. So there's a lot of the questions about spending time together, because it's special, because usually you're away from apart from each other all day long, and then it's nice to come together. We treasure those times when we're alone before we come back together. But what was actually quite amazing for us is to see that in all the questions, we basically had the same answer all the way through to the end. I think it's only two of the ones that we had different answers. Just, I think, we married now for almost 10 years. And also, we complete opposites in personality. I remember when we met each other, I said to her, oh, we shouldn't even try dating. And she said, don't worry, you're not an option, so relax. And 7 months later, we were married. Anyway, but it was just very useful to see how we experience love between the two of us, and to see over 10 years. Although when we started, when we just when we were dating was very short. We met, and then 7 months later we married. And the first thing, 2 years of marriage, was very interesting. But to see how God, it was God's plan for us to really become a very strong team and growing together, and how we found a rhythm and a harmony between the two of us, which is was wonderful and really pleasant.
Thanks. That's great feedback. I think if you do these things when you're engaged, and then, as you say, as you get to know each other, like, you rub off on each other and you do start having things that are similar. Again, it's that thing of having things in common. So the thing that I also loved about what you said is that the thing about these love languages, they can also change for different seasons of our lives. So if for your lady, it's gifts, giving gifts is one of her love languages. When you have a tiny baby, let me tell you, acts of service become way up there. Please just help me bath the baby and help make the dinner. And so it changes with different stages of your life. But I think what is helpful about it, and I hope that it did start doing things, is it just actually makes you realize how we are so different and so similar in some things. But actually, it just gives us things that we know that we need to work on. Because we got married because we love this person. And we want to please this person. So sometimes just through busyness of life and routines and all those things, you can just forget that actually, oh, he likes that. Why don't I do that? Or she likes this. Why don't I do that? One of the things that for me was quite just a personal testimony. I love giving gifts. I love doing that. I like getting things, but it's more for me. I love giving to people. I love choosing something specific for the person. And Stan's not really. He's not big on cards. You know, he's like, he'd buy a card and he'd say, "Dear Heath, love Stan," because the writing was in there. Why do you need to say anything else? So it was difficult. When he went to the army, I always laugh. So he went to the army for that. He was in that 18-month, just after the two-year thing. And he used to write me letters. And I used to read them with my mom, which everyone says, well, no wonder he didn't say anything because you read them with your mother. But I used to say, "Mom, can you read between the lines? I mean, he's... She'd go, "Love, there's nothing there." I'd go, "No, Mom, there is. Can you..." She'd go, no, there's nothing there. But I realized, so I thought, well, if he doesn't really like it, then, oh, like, he used to play lots of sport and he used to love text bars. I used to buy one before he played. And it wasn't that he didn't love it. He did, but it's not high up on his love language. So I just stopped doing it. And I suddenly realized part of me was dying. So sometimes you need to think, actually, it's okay to also do what your love language is, what you like to do. Don't stop doing it, because I know that he appreciates it. But it's just not the other things that he would appreciate more. So I just realized, no, actually, I can start doing that still. And I can send him notes and flowers, not flowers, notes and chocolates and whatever, because I quite like doing that. But communication is an art, and it's a learning thing. It grows as you get married, as you've been married longer. It's a growing thing. You learn to communicate better. You learn to understand each other. And it's also just quite nice, those little things, is how are you doing on those love languages? Because all of a sudden, your wife comes out like something and you think, I'm not doing too good on that. So it's a nice testing of the water. So I hope it gave you lots of things to talk about. I just wanted to chat a little bit about some of them. I'm not going to go into any detail, but obviously that thing of words of affirmation. When I was talking about the inheritance that we can possess in our marriages, words of affirmation are, I think, very closely linked with possessing your inheritance. You know, when Moses sent the spies into the land, only two of them came back with a good report. And my challenge to all of us is, what is the report of your marriage to other people? It's a tough one. And I want to always know that I have the power to influence the size of our inheritance as a married couple. And I don't want to do anything to shrink that. I want it to be big. I want it to be large. And one of the things that I think can help that is really just make sure you are, the report you have of your marriage is a positive one. And then obviously the thing of words of affirmation. When we go into the world, we are assaulted with negative, destructive words. Somebody sent a wonderful question in about, what do I do when I tell people at work that I'm getting married and they tell me, oh, shame, what a nightmare for you. We are surrounded all day by that. That is the reality. So for us as believers who live with Jesus in our hearts, we need to be making sure that we are speaking life and love into our husbands and wives every single opportunity that we can get. We need to be appreciating them. We need to be doing it because actually we know that when they get out there, they need to, I read an amazing thing. I'm not sure if I wrote it down here. But, oh, yes, home should be the place where he is built up, your husband is built up, and he's ready to face the world when he leaves in the morning. I also love this. I think it's on the back of one of these other notes. Let me just find it. Wives, make your man glad to come home every day. And husbands, make your wives sad to see you leave in the morning. That's beautiful. So yeah, that thing of words of affirmation is obviously very high up there. And I do think it is a generalization, but I do think men need it more than women at times. I think you men are assaulted out there when you're off to work, not that women who work aren't, but I just think there is an assault on men. And I think wives, it is one of our big responsibilities. We need to be making sure that when they leave for the day, they feel like Superman. Doesn't matter if they come home dragging the cape at the end of the day. Doesn't matter, the next day they'll leave, they still feel like Superman. Hopefully not wearing their underpants on the outside. Yeah, again. So that's obviously words of affirmation. They're pretty self-explanatory. The thing I love about quality time, now I think lots of ladies love quality time. Well, I do. It's one of my love languages. But for me, like I was saying, when you get together and you're dating, quality time for me, when I think about it, is I'm storing up memories in my memory bank so that I have got amazing memories of my man. So when we're going through difficult times, we can, even when we were talking last night with Roy and Mel, the memories we have made as couples together over the 20 years of being together are amazing. They're actually what build intimacy between us. And it's the same with a husband and wife. And does that mean it's going to have to be sacrificial? It does sometimes. It actually means that you're going to have to sometimes give up some of your individual time. It means sometimes you're going to have to do things that you don't really like. We live at the beach and Stan hates the sand. It's so irritating. So I know for him, when I say, love, let's take the kids to the beach, I know it is a big sacrifice for him. But when we come home, we've made memories with the kids. We've had an amazing time. There's nothing better than showering after that sun feeling. It's beautiful. All you Valis who come down to the coast, you know how nice that is. But so yes, it's just a very special time. Quality time is focused attention. It's not watching TV. For us, quality time is going to the movies. I know some people say, but that's not, how's that quality time for you? Like you don't, we dated going to movies. That's what we did. We used to go to the 8 o'clock show and then go to the 10 o'clock show. We just didn't want it. We wanted to be together. So we love movies. So that for us is quality time. But you'll know what is quality time for each other. Find out what that is and do those things to build a memory bank in your marriage. And also quality conversation is important. I was laughing the other day. We had a vet couple, not Andrew and his wife, who did some marriage counseling for us. And they said, you must be careful. Obviously, when you're newly, you know, you're engaged, you don't think this is going to happen. But you must be careful that when the children come, you don't stop looking at each other's eyes, because you're always looking at the baby or looking at the toddler, because actually you've got to keep looking at each other's eyes. And sometimes even that quality conversation can be quite difficult. You go out and you're so excited to be out together having dinner, but actually all you do is talk about the kids and, you know, the daily things. And I know it's difficult because you've got to do those things as well. But quality conversation is also about listening and hearing what the other person isn't saying, but what they're really feeling. Sometimes those things only come out when you have quality conversation. Obviously, that receiving gifts, I really feel that cannot have anything to do with money, because otherwise you will be hamstrung at different stages of your life. We were talking about a friend who, that's one of her love languages, and they were struggling, and so she planted a strawberry patch. And every time she went to visit people, she used to take a big, beautiful, she always had this beautiful way of wrapping things, a big bunch of strawberries. Mel had arum lilies in her garden in Durban, and she would arrive with this big bunch of arum lilies when she came to your house. So it doesn't always have to be expensive things. I think words are so lacking in today's society, so if that is one of your gifts or one of your love languages, just write somebody a card, even one that you've made. Don't be hamstrung by money in that, because I've seen people be hurt because they think, well, I don't have any money. I'd love to buy people gifts. I've been in that place. As I said, I love giving people gifts. But actually, it's not always about the actual gift. It's more, sometimes the gift of yourself is also special. So if your wife or your husband likes receiving gifts, actually, sometimes it could just be you wrapped in a ribbon. Would be lovely. He would love that. But I'm not sure she would love it. It doesn't quite work for the girl, but a guy would love it. So just that thing of gifts of self as well. And I don't know why I wasn't going to say it, but I feel that I should. I know for a lot of men here, or even women that are involved in very high-powered business jobs, you often have a lot of functions that the spouses are not included in. But you do have some functions where the spouse is included in. And I really just want to encourage the opposite husband or the wife that when you do have the opportunity to be at your man's side at a business function or something, please take that opportunity. The gift of you will bless the people that he works with. When he goes to work, he goes, yes, as the man, but actually don't forget you're in covenant, you're one. So try as much as you can. And I know it's difficult with little children and all those things, but I've seen it with some of my friends. Actually, it's been a fight for them because her husband works a lot, but it is priceless because you know what? Otherwise, people see him without his wife all the time, or they see her without her husband all the time. And it's not helpful. So I just wanted to mention that. And then obviously the acts of service, which really, I love this. It says, tell your spouse you love them. Use words if necessary. It's so important that you show the person that you love by acts of service. And for some people, that is really important. And it can be as small as washing the dishes and taking out the rubbish. But it can be big things like helping prepare them for a big conference they've got, or packing, helping them pack their suitcase, or whatever those things are. Acts of service are quite an important thing. And we have a friend who, her husband, it's big for him. So it's not for her. So he would come home at the end of the day, and I'm not sure why they don't have a dishwasher, but they don't. And the dishes would be in the sink. And for him, it would be like a personal assault that you don't love me, that you haven't done the dishes, you know? I mean, thank goodness that's not my husband. But, you know, so for her, she's realized, I love this man. Some of them can be silly like that. When I think, oh my gosh, get over yourself. Wash them yourself if you don't like them in the kitchen. But that's not the point. If I love him, then actually, again, I'm not thinking about myself. And she said it has been a stupid little thing for her to wash the dishes, but it's changed something in their marriage. So now often he does wash the dishes, but it was that initial thing. So it's just find out if that is one of your love languages, and it can be important. And then also one of the things, I'm blessed with Stan the man, who can do anything. He is his father. He's sort of worked alongside his dad when he was little, doing whatever his dad did, whatever it was, in the garage, changing the brakes, fixing things in home, changing the radios and cars. Thank you for that story. I was going to bring up Prestick, but maybe I won't. So thankfully, some of us are gifted in that area. Melanie used to phone Stan and say, please, could you come and put up the shower head? But one of the things I realized is I can actually take that for granted. I'm so grateful he's a DIY guy. I love it. And I have a list going all the time that he can tick off. But I just realized also that I don't ever want to take those things for granted. So if your man is like that and enjoys doing that, don't forget to appreciate him, because it is an incredible blessing. Obviously, then, physical touch was one of the other ones. And again, when I spoke about us being together and having things in common, you remember those days you could not wait to spend time together. You would be just, even if you were before the holding hands stage, just standing close enough that you could feel him next to you. And then it's the holding hands, and then it's physical touch is an incredible, incredible gift for someone to have. And I think the devil has got in so many ways. I think obviously people have been hurt and people have been abused when they were growing up. And the culture of the day also can be a little unhelpful. You have to be very careful when you have kids and how you touch kids and where you're with kids. It's obviously the devil has just had a field day in that area. But my prayer is that even if you have come from that place, that your husband or wife's arms would be a safe place for you, because that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a safe place. And obviously, physical touch is not just about sex. Of course it is about sex, but for some men and some women, it's not just about sex. So remember that actually you can just hold hands together. I love that picture in my mind, and I hope it'll be me one day, where you see this old couple walking along the beach holding hands together, and you just think, oh my gosh, the level of intimacy that they share now is far greater than the newly married couple who are in a passionate embrace. So really, if physical touch is one of your love languages. Also, one of the difficult things with physical touch is sometimes people use it as a punishment. They withdraw their physical touch from the other partner because of fears and because of hurts. And we're going to be covering a little bit more of that when we talk about the intimacy side. But if that is you, and if you are in a place where you are fearful, or you've had hurts and pain in that area of physical touch, God's going to heal you today. And the arms of your spouse are going to be safe again, and it's going to be a thing that you can really enjoy. There's nothing better than your man just holding you in your arms, I think, for a girl. So we're all on this journey of learning to love. Philippians 1 verse 9 says, and this is my prayer for you, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Note here that it says that your love may abound more and more. It's coming through every single session. It's a growing process, your love. It requires growth and maturation in knowledge, understanding each other. 10 years down the track, they're so much better. 20 years down the track, we're so much better in trying to understand each other. The way that your love grows, it grows in a depth of insight. It grows in practical discernment. You learn about buttons, which buttons to push and which ones not to. And Christian love is not mere sentiment. It is rooted in knowledge and understanding. And there are times where often the world will tell you, oh, you'll never understand a woman, or men are from Mars, women are from Venus, all of those things. But actually, we have Jesus who can give us knowledge and understanding of each other in our journey of love together. I just wanted to just briefly, are you all okay? You fine? Okay. Stan spoke a little bit about that Ephesians scripture. I haven't got it here, Ephesians 5. We spoke about the responsibility of men. And I remember very naively feeling when I first got married that, oh, wish I was a man. You've got it so easy. you know, we have to have the babies and we have to do this and that. And then I sort of started understanding more of God's responsibility and what he requires men to do. And I am very grateful that I am the wife, and I am very happy that he is the head and can lead my family. And I love it. As I said, I'm a strong girl. I'm not a doormat. And I have never had to even think about the word submission in our marriage. Rory will tell you I have had incidences where I have been unsubmissive. But God has sorted me. And I didn't want to have my third child. You didn't think I was very submissive in that area. But I had got, it's been just amazing how you don't have to, that thing of submission, again, the world has twisted it. It is the safest, most secure place to be when you can submit to your husband, because he can lead you and you can do things together as a team and you work the garden together. Because if he leads you properly, like Stan was talking about last night, who wouldn't want to submit to that? It's the easiest thing in the world. So I'm not going to go through all the different, not going to read that scripture, but it's got a different translation that I read when I was looking at it. And remembering that before that Ephesian scripture, it says filled with the Holy Spirit, men and women, before it goes on to talk about marriage. And so often I think we can forget that. We fall short of the grace of God and the ability in our own lives all the time. But God's grace is sufficient. And if we are filled and asking the Holy Spirit to help us, then actually doing the things that we spoke about last night and tonight are actually not that difficult. So listen to this beautiful translation. It says, however, each man of you, and then brackets, it says, without exception, love his wife as being in a sense his very own self. Stan covered that quite extensively last night. And let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband. And in brackets, it broke it down, and I wanted just to chat about a few of them. It said, make sure that she notices him, she regards him, she honors him, she prefers him, she venerates him and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. And I have loved doing an expansion on those things. Make sure she notices him. Ladies and men, when I say these things, so many of them are for both of us. There are so many distractions out there in the world and in our daily lives, even if you're not in the world. Well, obviously, we're all living in the world. But when we first met, what were the things you noticed? Was it his eyes? Was it his hands? Was it her feet? Was it her smile? There's things that you notice when you first get together. Thankfully, as I said, we all attracted to different things. But are you noticing him still in your marriage? Are you so busy that you don't have time to notice the hunk that God has given you and enjoy him? The other thing was, it says she regards him. And when I broke that down, it said she looks closely at him, she observes him. And one of the things that I feel God has given every woman, I think it's the way he's created us different to men, is I think he's given us an ability to discern things. He's given us an ability to almost be a radar in our marriages and even with our children. And ladies, make sure you're helping your husband with those distractions in his life. Sometimes he can't see the wood for the trees. He's so focused on what he's doing. But I really feel like when Stan was speaking about having an emotional capacity in our lives, I feel for women, it's key for us to do that. And it's hard. I do not live in that place all the time. I feel emotionally drained most days. But if I have an emotional space in God in my life, I will be able to pick up the things in my man and the things in my children. Often we'll go to each other and I'll say, oh, babe, I'm really feeling that Natalie needs to spend some time with you. And he's like, oh, no, do you feel that, whatever? And absolutely. Turns out that's all she needed was a date with her dad, and she's a different child. So I really wanted to encourage you when it says she regards him. I feel that's one of the jobs that we're supposed to be doing as women, is make sure that radar is on and that it has space to observe everything that's going on around you in your marriage and in your home. It says she honors him. And that is the position that God has given him in your household. God has created him to be the head, and together you're going to tend that garden together. I think one of the most easy areas where this can be undermined is obviously in the area of parenting. It's very difficult to parent, as you all know, but not to be, it's quite easy. Sorry, let me say, it's quite easy to, if you'd put out a specific punishment or he puts out a specific punishment, to say, oh no, babe, shame, that was unnecessary. You don't, actually, that's undermining his position. And that's not honoring him as the head of your home. If you're struggling with areas like that, speak to somebody, because it's your children's role model of what marriage is going to look like. And you know what? We have the most incredible blessing. All of us sitting here come from a history, come from a past. But when we have children, we have the opportunity to take the good from Stan's family and the good from my family and ask God and do it differently with our kids. And we both come from wonderful families. But lots of us don't. Lots of us have come from models that we don't want our children to be exposed to. But your relationship and your model, it's going to be the first place that your children learn to respect each other and learn to respect authority in the home. So honor the position that God has given him. And men, can I encourage you, don't advocate that role. I know you're busy. I know you have lots of other things to do. But actually, it's not your wife's responsibility to do the discipline in the home. You do it as a team. I'm not saying she shouldn't. But actually, you cannot come home from work and say, I actually can't deal with this. And wives, you can't do the wait till your dad gets home. That's not going to work either. Because it just undermines. You need to know up front you're on the same page. And actually, you need to stand up and take your place. Men in the marriage in that area. And then it says she prefers him. And I love that. I love the fact that you choose him above others. I love the fact that you choose him above your friends sometimes. I love the fact that you choose him above your children. And I love the fact that you choose him above sometimes your own individual time. I think God blesses that. And do I think friends are wrong? Do I think individual time's wrong? Absolutely not. We all need those in our lives. But it says that she prefers him. Are you preferring your spouse in your marriage today? And then it says she venerates and esteems him, which I had to look up what that word meant. It means she has great respect for him and she reveres him. Now, that's not the revering as in a king and you're the subject. It's a revering him in realizing his precious worth in your life. It's revering the fact that God has given you a treasure that you hold above anything else. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And esteems him, obviously, is obviously the respect thing as well. And then it says she defers to him. And I love that. You know, when you get married, you are one. You make decisions together. You don't get a phone call from your mom saying, are you going to come for lunch on Sunday? And you say, sure, and you haven't asked your spouse. You defer to each other. It's a good model to do. It's a safe model. So she's not feeling vulnerable having to make big decisions on her own. He's not feeling like he's making all the decisions without her. They defer to each other. They make those things together. They ask each other's advice. Even in business, ladies, we've got, or men, you've got to get involved in what your husband is doing to a certain degree. Because God is, remember God said, I'm taking each individual talent that you have and you are going to tend the garden together. So she's going to see stuff or he's going to see stuff that you would be blindsided to. Make sure you're asking each other's advice about things that you're doing in your life and make the decisions together. And then when I touched on this with the words of affirmation, I made a comment when I said this once before, and I think the image, everybody loves it, so I'm going to say it again. Make sure you're his best cheerleader. And everybody said, are there pom-poms involved with that? And I said, if you want pom-poms, you can have pom-poms. Make sure you are their best cheerleader. As we spoke, as I said earlier, just about words, it needs to be a safe place. It needs to be a building up place for him. And you know, one thing also that I've found over the years is don't be a dream killer. When your man is a dreamer, you know what? Life sorts us out on its own. We don't have to be the prophet of doom in every situation. Oh, let's do this. And the guy goes, and the girl goes, oh, no, but what about that? And what about that? You know what? That'll work itself out. Make sure you are fanning his dreams. Give him space to dream in your lives. And trust God for the things you're nervous and worried about. You'll get another opportunity to talk about those things. But just make sure, in the thing of the words, make sure that you're praising him and you're encouraging him in the dreams. Even if they make a mistake. Ladies, I told you so. We shouldn't do that. It's not helpful. It's not building up anything. It's shrinking your inheritance back. Let him dream and stand alongside him. Because when you make the mistake, you're going to do it together. And he's going to know, you know what, actually this, I need to listen more to her. Next time I make her type of decision, I'm going to ask her advice first. Because you know what, she stood by me the last time I made a wrong one. It gives them courage. One of our biggest roles as a wife is to be an encourager. We have to give them, an encourager just means give me courage. And all of us need courage to face everything that we do in life. And then the last thing it just says, she loves and admires him exceedingly. And I think we've touched on that quite extensively, just about the way that you love each other. And I love that word exceedingly. It's not just enough. We serve an abundant God who owns the cattle of a thousand on the thousand hilltops. And that's how much he loved us. And that's how much love you should be giving your spouse. Love them exceedingly. And admire, that would have said love and admire them exceedingly. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes they don't deserve it. Sometimes, but that's a stand touched on. Covenant is not about doing something that they deserve. Covenant about is on behalf of others. Remember at the end of every sentence? Do these things on behalf of others. So I hope it's been an encouragement today. I'm going to chat a little bit more when we chat more on the sexual side. But I really hope it's been encouraging. For me, the greatest gift is to see women in freedom. And I hope nothing I have said today has put you in bondage. And if it has, please come and speak to me. Because I want women, and every man in this room will tell you, they want their wife to be free, to be who God created her to be. It is the greatest gift when your wife is free and walking in that freedom. So please don't ever feel that anything that is said should put you in a bondage and feel like you're carrying a baggage, because you're not. Actually, God is a God of freedom. He came to set us free, not to put us in cages or little boundary places, gardens that are small. God has a big garden for us all to be in. Thank you so much.